Back into 1 Samuel. We've been studying the life of Jonathan, and I'm so grateful to God that, again, he's been bringing forth these wonderful encouragements. These are, yea, the deep things of God by the Spirit. I thank God that the prophets wrote these things for us, and we need to understand that. And, you know, sometimes, and thank God it hadn't been very often, but sometimes I'll get a comment or whatever. Well, why do you look into that so much? Well, let me tell you something. It's for kings to search out a matter. And I know by the grace of God, not that I'm anything, but my Lord's everything. And the plan of God for every child of God is we weren't born a servant. We were born a king. We were born a little Lord of all. And by the grace of God, it says we need to grow up into him, grow up into him in all things. Amen. And I thank God. That's the encouragement I need to have daily and moment by moment. And I'll tell you, if there's any emotion and any feeling to have, that's the spiritual emotion and feeling to have of just the Spirit of God to encourage you. And know this, it's in truth. It's always going to be in the Word of the Lord. And that's going to be the forever, the only thing that will abide forever. So we're grateful to God for these things. But we left off last week in the 22nd chapter of 1 Samuel. And Jonathan and David were in the field. And I'll tell you what, if you ever want anything with the Lord, you got to get out in the field. You know what I'm saying? See, you got to get out from among the camp. You got to get out there. And I loved how it left off there in verse 42. Jonathan said, "The Lord between me and thee." And I love that. See, that's what we have. And as cherubim brethren, we have the Lord between us. As those cherubim touch over the mercy seat, the mercy of the Lord is between us. That's what our eyes are upon. That's the fellowship. If I'm ever going to be of any profit to you and encouragement to you in your life, it's going to be because I look at the mercy of the Lord. And I mean that very sincerely. When I get low because of that wonderful mercy and receive, praise God, that encouragement, I can be used of the Lord to supply you something. And I was encouraged again of the Lord. God help us not to leave the lowly place. He's brought us precious trial, hasn't he? Brings us through, and now it gives me chills to think about all the things the Lord has done. But don't leave that precious, most tender place when he's in his absolute mercy got you to that place where you just completely kind of collapsed before him. You know what I'm saying? You broke before him finally. Lord, I'm just no good. You know, I tried of my own and it just didn't work or something of that nature. But when he gets you to that wondrous place, don't leave there. There's a fellowship there. And then when you have those great needs where he's brought you to, think about time and time again in the Word of God, how many times it points back to those great moments that the Lord showed himself self-faithful. It wasn't the act, but it was the way of God. The way of God taking them to the no way and showing them that nothing's hard for God. And that's our life. And as we've been encouraged in sermons, even as of late, that our faith, it transcends all time. It does. The Word of God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It's alive always. He incorporates all time. Just get there by faith. If you're having a hard time believing something, let faith just transcend you to stand on the shore with Moses. Watch the sea part. Really, get in the lion's den. Go have some fellowship with a spirit. And it's the Spirit of the Lord, you know that. But the Spirit of the Lord that was there with Daniel. Those things that in the fire, the furnace with those three Hebrew children. All of that precious fellowship. It's the same for us today and even exceeding and great and precious promises that we have. So by God's grace, let's believe the Lord. Let's get out in the field. Now, as we go on here, we see that their love, Jonathan and David's love, and it was that divine love of grace, the oneness in the Lord. And I appreciated a brother who recently called me. He says, "I get that. Brother, I share that with you, don't we?" And he recently got married. He said, "Our love for one another exceeds that of a man's love for a woman." I said, "Absolutely. That's the love by the grace of God we have. It's not of this world." You get that? Amen? See, that's why we don't need to get stupid in the things of God. Just read the Word of God. Be encouraged in the Word of God. That this is so beyond what we think in our minds. This is of faith, and this is what God in his ordained order is. But Saul, as we leave off here, we see that this oneness in the Lord between Jonathan and David is just so outstanding. But yet Saul is still intent in killing David. Every time Saul says, "Oh, I swear," his swearing doesn't do anything. His swearing just exposes how much he detests the grace of God, how much he wants his flesh magnified, and how much he doesn't want anything to take the spotlight off of his life. Listen to that. We want to take the spotlight off of us, because there's only one spotlight. Matter of fact, it's not a spotlight, it's the light. And that's our precious Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So, and we can get with that with anything. We can have others that we think that we want to be the idol of others, but then sometimes we're the idol of ourselves. And so, by the grace of God, let's allow the Lord to encourage us. Just break up all them idols. That's kind of what needs to happen. But Jonathan, even though his dad was intent on killing David, Jonathan has completely committed his love to God's anointed grace. And that's what this is all about, is Jonathan's love of the word of his grace. It was those words that David spoke that Jonathan fell in love with all the way to the end. It was that wonderful grace of God that was with David. And in that, that's that type of Christ, that Christ type that David is. Now, Jonathan stands against his father's hatred of grace. And as we saw last week, how wonderful is this story's been going. It's been a wonderful time, but here it really got hard for Jonathan, because Jonathan jointly suffered together with David. And we saw that in Saul had earlier taken the javelin and thrown it at David to try to kill him. Now we saw last week that Saul took that same javelin and threw it at his own son Jonathan to kill him. Like sufferings together. And that's that Christ type again that we have here. And as the word of the Lord tells us, if we suffer with him, we will reign with him. If we want to be glorified together with him, if we want to rule and reign together with him, there is the requirement for that mature son of God. We will suffer together with Christ. But we know that those sufferings are not even worthy to be compared, are they? In the word of God, it even says they're not even worthy to be uttered. Not even spoken, but yet we need the spoken word to understand. And so I'm grateful to God that we can believe these things. So as we go forth, though, I will tell you into this next scene of chapter 23. See, these are types and shadows. If you want to call them allegories, I love that as well too. The hidden meanings that exist in the Word of God. And this relationship that is shown through these two of the bridal type and the bridegroom is just so marvelous. It's the place that is out from among the camp, and it's the exceeding love between the souls, all because of the Word of God. Now, before we get to chapter 23, I just want to kind of concisely give you a little backdrop of what happened at the rest of 22, even though it didn't concern Jonathan. I think this is important. In chapter 22, Saul continues on, and his evil just waxes worse. See, when you step away from the grace of God, it gets worse. It always does. Until you make a step back towards grace, it's going to get worse. The evil that'll come up, the coldness, the insanity that the enemy will put into your mind, it will get worse. What happens is not only does Saul continue to try to kill David, he tries to turn everybody against David. And he tries to turn them against David and Jonathan by getting them to feel sorry for Saul. Once again, pointing that back to him. He is a complete manipulator. Where Saul is stepping now is he's causing great discord. And discord in the Word of God is what God hates. He hates that discord. When it's bad enough if you're going to take yourself out of something, but when you start touching his little children and going after others to turn them, and especially turn them against God's anointed, you have approached on something that's going to poison your life in a great way. And I've seen it. It's the Word of God. It will always be that way. And it's a sad thing when any of us, but for the grace of God, would go that way. So we need to know that as well. But he uses Jonathan here. He presents his own son as a traitor. And the people are just horrified. They're not even going for this. You know, because he said, oh, now my son's turned against me. You know this. And then he tries to tell him, look, I've given you lands and vineyards. Like everything that's been done, it was because of Saul that did it. We have leaders like that, don't we? And that's just man. And they never change. But see, when we look to man, it's always going to be a disaster. And if you think about it again, who were the ones in the first place who put Saul up? See what you get? They got it, didn't they? And that's what they chose instead of letting God lead them. And God in his great grace was giving them a leader that had a man after a heart after God's own heart, which was David. And the Lord, he doesn't forget his. He's not slack concerning his promises. He loves his people. But you think about this. And so he tried to get the people to feel sorry for him. And it was wonderful because not a one of the people would speak up. They weren't going for that. Except there was one that would do it. And his name was Doeg. And Doeg the Edomite. And I kind of think of that, Doeg the Edomite. And that name literally means, Doeg means fear. And the Edomite is of Esau. So if you think about it, it's the fear of Esau. That doesn't sound like a good combination to me. You know, that was someone that despised the birthright. He didn't value the blessing. And you think about, well, the way that Saul was going, it was a perfect match. It was a match made in a way, it was a match made in hell. That was just of the enemy to bring those two together, and that's exactly what you'll get when you go that way. Well, Saul in his rage against grace, it gets so awful that he actually goes and has all the priests of the Lord slain. He has them all killed. And those priests came to him and they said, now look, you don't want to be doing this. We assisted David. What has David done wrong? Once again, that testimony. The grace of God has given you everything. God has blessed us. He's graced us with this anointing. Why are you going against this? But once again, when you go up against God, when you go against the grace of God, insanity will overtake your mind and the way you think. It's like it's seared with a hot iron. You begin to act against the people that you love, the people that love you, the things that are good to you. You go against them and you'll destroy even your own family. And that's exactly what Saul does here. And no one will touch those priests. Except for one, that one that is the fear of Esau, that Doeg, that horrible man. He went ahead and killed all of those priests. So this gives you, once again, undisputable proof. When you turn against the grace of God, the one who's leading you is the enemy. Don't care how religious you think you are, how incredible you think you follow God. When you turn against the grace of God, you are being led by the enemy. Because the only way we can grow is in grace. And Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. And we're so thankful to God, we know who the one is that will bring the grace. And if we're going after grace, we know that we'll be going after Jesus. So praise be to God. And the enemy will get you, if you go that way, he'll get you to try even to destroy the Word of God, those anointed of God. You become an enemy, if you will, of the truth when you go against the grace of God. And that's a very, very sad thing. Think about how Paul rebuked Peter. Peter's a wonderful man of God, wasn't he? He loved the Lord. He was a disciple. But when Peter went against grace, Paul didn't blink an eye. He went in there and he absolutely stood right to his face. And he told him how dirty that was, how evil that was. He did not mince words. And that's the way that Peter was going, because he was going against the grace of God. And thanks be to God, there was a brother in the Lord that stood in truth and love, that stood for the grace of God, and told him in love, but told him boldly, you're going the wrong way. And it's going to stop because you're taking others with you. And so we're grateful that we can have this encouragement to us. But now on to the bridal type, and it only gets better because that's our Lord. Let's go on over to chapter 23, and let's read verses 14 through 18 together. It says, and David abode in the wilderness in strongholds, and remained in a mountain in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day. I'm glad Saul was busy. See, an enemy always got to be working something, and it's every day. But God delivered him not into his hand. That's you, so know that. Remember, God's got you. And David saw that Saul was come out to seek his life. And David was in the wilderness of Ziph in a wood. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David in the wood and strengthened his hand in God. And he said unto him, "Fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. Thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knows." And they two made a covenant before the Lord, and David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Now, that's as far as we're going to get tonight. I'll just tell you that right now, if we get through this, because this is just on a whole new level of the exceeding riches of the hidden meaning of the bridal type in this. It just keeps elevating. And like I say, the details, the words that are used here, that's where I pray that God would quicken us. This isn't just to, again, study to be cerebral. This is reading the depths of the love letters of Jesus Christ to us. This, once again, these prophets wrote these things. There were reasons that these stories, and they're not just stories, we know this is the living word of God, but they were written in this description. They were written with these exact words, and these words have great meaning, incredible meanings, depths, layers in these things. So let's just focus in here now, and Lord, open our heart to receive it. So, as we begin here in that wonderful 16th verse here, it says, Jonathan arose. How many times have we read that? Amen. Jonathan arose. Jonathan arose. Full overcomers always rise up. They always stand. Amen. They always will stand, withstand, and having done all to stand. And where does Jonathan go? Does he go to the people? Does he go? No, he goes to David. He goes to that encouragement of the Lord. Note this again. Jonathan didn't bring him material things. Jonathan didn't go out there to bring him food or clothing or things of that nature. Jonathan brought David what David wanted and needed. He needed comfort. He needed encouragement. He needed that fellowship. He needed to see him. Isn't that something? Isn't that wonderful? Do you know when we go to God like that, there's a fellowship, just like with Moses. God and him spoke together as friends face to face. You know what I'm saying? And here we are. We have a better thing. We're with a bridegroom face to face. And that's that dialogue. That's that fellowship by the grace of God that the Lord wants us to have with him. And if we are to be in that bride, that is what we'll bring to Jesus. We will bring that love. We'll bring that devotion. We'll bring that fellowship. We'll bring that praise. Think of what most Christians want to bring. They want to bring what Martha brought. Let me get busy. Let me serve. Let me do all these things. Once again, those things will be an after effect of falling in love with the Lord. All of that's taken care of. But this one thing the Lord said, that sweet woman, Mary, she chose the better part. She brought me what I was looking for. She brought me the height. She brought me a broken heart, a contrite spirit. She brought me love. She was loving on me. That's what I want, and I want to love on you. And this is this bridal type here. So, the hidden meanings here as we go. Jonathan, it says, he goes into the woods. All right? That word wood in the Hebrew, it means heavenly and to the height. Notice, Jonathan went into the wood, the heavenly and the height. And who did he find? David. That's where he's at. There's your Lord. Amen. You're gonna seek the Lord. You're going to seek those things above. You're going to go right in by the grace of God. You enter in right into the throne room of the Lord in Jesus' name. Jonathan always knows how to find David. Why? Because he loves the anointed. He loves the grace of God. You love the grace of God, you'll always find the Lord. Amen, you will. You'll always find that answer. You'll always find that encouragement in loving the grace of God. Now, people will go to the Word of God, but they'll go in legality and all of these things. But let me tell you something. They're not going to find the Lord like that. He gives grace to the humble. Amen. He sees the proud where? Afar off. They may think they're seeking something out, but they're seeking it in their own strength. When you seek out grace and you seek out mercy, let me tell you something. You're seeking the heart of God. And that was David, wasn't it? Amen. That was Jonathan. You see how that type is always there. They sought the grace. They sought the mercy. They sought that love of God. They knew who they were as men. We need to understand that. There's nothing good of us. My goodness, God help us to never look down upon anyone. By any means, we should be down looking up. Amen. By the grace of God. And I always love seeing those goats get together on that trail that only had one path. And it was impassable unless one would get down and let the other walk over it. And I thank the Lord. I think we're beginning to take places like that in here. It's beautiful. The love's growing, and that's what happens. But you'll always find the Lord. You'll always find grace in the heavenlies. And that's why he went out to the wood to find David. He went to the heavenlies. Hallelujah. Now, Saul, on the other hand, you notice something? He can never find David. He can't find him. Well, God hid him, sure. But when you're not looking for grace, you'll never find him. You'll never find him. You could be right there. Grace was all around him, wasn't it? Grace was right there, and if you know that story as well, how many times could grace have taken his life in a way? Because David was right there to, could have, you know, cut that skirt that he had, you know, let him know. Look at your skirt there, Saul. I was right there. I could have been your throat. Oh, I swear to you, I'm not going to go after you again. You know how that goes. But and know this, the only reason that Saul let up on him, well, that was God diverting Saul, but it was them Philistines finally. It wasn't because Saul got good at any time. When you don't seek the grace of God, there's no goodness there. You'll just seek over into evil and all of that type of thing. You can stir up a lot of nothing is what will happen, and then you can also stir up a lot of hatred, and that's what's very sad. So, you'll never find Jesus without grace, and Saul couldn't find it. Jonathan strengthens David's hand in God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? And he strengthened his hand in God. How marvelous is our fellowship with one another. I love that. I thank the Lord. That's why I love to come to church. I mean, I was just like a little, I'm not going to say low. I don't know really what it was. Don't really like to think about. But today was just, I don't know, maybe just a little wrestling day. I had to just trust God, you know, just kind of getting through. Sometimes I'm skipping through my house and things, and sometimes it's just like this. But you know what? You all quicken me. This body is marvelous. We get around the Word of God, and here it's flowing. And, you know, we're feeding here together, amen? Praise the Lord. And that's love, see? When you get out, when you're really in love, and you go out, you know, with your lover and all that, it doesn't matter how you're feeling. Everything got right. You know what I'm saying? So is this not the body, by the grace of God, of our bridegroom? I believe it is. If we're going to believe God for it, I'm trusting God that the grace has been taken here, that there's quite a few, and I'm believing the Lord for that finishing, for you and for me. Praise his name. But not only do we have this kind of fellowship with cherubim ones, but we even have this with the Lord. I love how God has told us that when we speak in the Spirit, we speak mysteries unto God. I love that. And I thank the Lord. I know the Lord is strengthened. He's encouraged when I take his grace to believe him. And I praise him for it. And I thank God. I know he's pleased with us as we gather right here, that he's strengthened. And matter of fact, he's pretty overwhelmed because I know he loves us. Amen. You think about how he was so excited and encouraged with them disciples. Now, I'm not comparing ourselves amongst ourselves because I've been as squirrely or more than those disciples at times. But it just always makes me smile when, you know, he knew they were going to run on him. He knew they were already squirrely. They never would pay attention. And they couldn't understand because they didn't have the Holy Ghost as he wanted them to understand. But and all of those things. But he just thanked the Father. Oh, that you've given me these ones. I mean, he was beside himself. He really was. And he loved them, and he protected them, and he encouraged them, and he cried over them. He prayed those drops of blood for them, all these different things. And all of that was for us too. But I just think, praise be to God, if you think he's encouraged about those friends, how much more is he encouraged about those that believe in the grace of God to be his wife? Ooh. Did you get a shudder on that one? I pray you did. See, that's where it goes. But, see, I love what we mean to Jesus and the need that he has for us. And I thank God. I understand, in a sense, God, he needs our praise. He sure does. And he loves our praise. And I'll tell you what, the Lord is so focused on us, especially our Father. He is seeking that true worshiper for his Son, see. This is the most intense time because he is seeking out that wife for his son. It's beautiful. And the Spirit's ministering to those that'll go. But I love that we can speak the word of God to him and that he longs for us to communicate with him and fellowship with him in spirit and in truth. And if you need more encouragement than that, just get back into the Song of Solomon. Listen to that dialogue between the lovers. Think about Genesis 24 and all those different things. I mean, it's just so beautiful when you get the dialogue of the lovers and you see that that is our Lord. And once again, it just strikes my heart to be mentioning this lately. He is very God of very God, but he's also a man. He's also made a man. Remember that. And that man was made, obviously, to die upon that cross, had to be made a man. And then he still had to give up his life because he was still God. And all power, okay? But at the same time in that, so beautifully, he had to be a man to have a wife. And that's just, I mean, now you lose words, you're just delirious, and you feel like stripping down and jumping before him in a girdle, amen? So there you go. Now, verse 17. And he said unto him, this is Jonathan again speaking to David, fear not, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find thee. Thou shalt be king over Israel. Now, he wasn't just saying things to make David feel good. He was speaking to David the word of God. He was telling him truth, amen? It wasn't butter up. This is what God's promised. You've been anointed by Samuel. You are going to be the king. Everybody knows this because God has said it. Now, even Saul knew that. He tried to kill him, but he knew that was useless. Even though you know it's useless, isn't that amazing? When you go against the grace of God, you'll still do useless. Huh? And thou shalt be king over Israel, and I shall be next unto thee, and that also Saul my father knows. Now, those are some things that are hard to be understood by those that might wrestle a little bit with the Scriptures. How could he say that? Did that really happen? Remember, this was written for us, was it not? Let's talk about why this happens, all right? It's wonderful that the heart of the husband trusts in the virtuous woman. See, again, this is a dialogue here that's encouraging us in the bridal truth. Once again, Jonathan representing the full overcomer, which would be that bride, and David as the bridegroom. Jonathan is out there, praise God, encouraging, in a sense, that bridegroom, all right? I thank God that the virtuous woman, because of her life, because of all of those qualities about her, in Proverbs 31, it says, the heart of her husband doth rest in her, it trusts in her. There's a beautiful relationship here, and I thank God that that we can believe the grace of God, and yea, we can believe the deep things. The very meaning of the word vessel means adding to the usefulness of the husband. Isn't that something? Isn't it amazing that the bridal truth and those that believe Paul's gospel, as it tells us in Colossians chapter 1, bridal truth and those that believe Paul's gospel are used and will be to complete Jesus. They complete the word of God. The dispensation that was given to Paul fulfills the word. Put that all together. The bridal body, the bridal message, those that receive that grace, will complete and fulfill Jesus. He will not take the throne as God in that regard until he has his queen. And it's so wonderful, and it's just perfect because it's the Word of God. There's only one perfect thing, and it's the Word of God. So we have this encouragement. We have the same encouragement with once again with the bride and what the bride is to the husband, the glory that she is for him. Jonathan encourages David to rest, and how does he encourage him? Rest by faith in the promises of God. Isn't that wonderful? I love that. I just, that's the only way we're ever going to rest. You rest in the promises of God. Amen? He will perform the good work which he's begun. We come in here and hear that bridal truth all the time. Amen? But we go out there and wrestle sometimes and get defeated. Oh, I'm not in the bride or whatever I'm going to think. I'm going to believe the word of the Lord that says that he will perform the good work that he has begun. But I need him to let, again, that it is. Let God. Let God do that. Because I'm his workmanship, amen? So I let God work on me. I let the word of God work on me. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord for every bit of my life and how he's, again, put me together, all my thoughts afar off. Amen. Downsetting, uprisings, all those things. I know I've got a perfect package for him. It's a perfect package for him. I'm just telling you, it's wonderful. Completely made for him in his grace and his mercy. And it's the only way, then, by him performing that in me. Amen. I will attain to that mark for the prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But I try to do it myself. I try to do it in my own works. I try to do it in that. It's going to fall short. It is. It will not finish in that full joy. I'll run as one that beats the air. I could understand the message, but yet if I think I've got to do it, my gait isn't right. I'm not running in that perfect grace. Grace is the only thing that runs perfectly. That's it. It's just a perfect gait. It's beautiful. You've seen them runners that were running the Olympics, those different ones, those men and women that have run in the past, especially 30 years. Oh, my goodness. It just looks like they're floating, you know, when they have that gait. Well, that's what happens. When you run and you run well, you're soaring. Those wings are moving you, and it's a wonderful thing. So we believe God for it. But here it is. Jonathan says, you've been anointed to be king by the prophet. And he says, rest. See, God will perform this. And I love how Jonathan says, I'll defend you from my father. See, this is the pledge of the, in a sense, if you will, the commitment, the devotion of first love. We stand in defense of the gospel. It's our first love. That's it. Just what it is. And I thank the Lord. There's that evidence of his grace. We know it's not of ourselves, but there's evidence of that grace. This is what's here tonight. You say we've made those choices, but love makes the choice. Love just makes you go. You know, it's just, I think of very divine moments in my life. I've told you very sovereignly when I was over there in Europe and I was singing and everything was just right where, naturally speaking, everything had been for me to line up to do exactly what I was going to do with music. Boom, 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 right there. And then, bam, the Lord had spoke to my heart, this isn't for you. But I cannot express to you any more clearly, there was no wrestling. There wasn't a why. There wasn't what are we going to do. It was moving. His love moved me, and I know that. And it wasn't like, oh, well, Lord, I love you so much. I'm doing. His love just moved me. And his love is proven that time and time again in my life. So Jonathan here says to him, thou shalt be king. And here I love this. And I shall be next to you. Amen. And then Saul, he says, Saul, my father knows this. I'm not worried about what my family thinks. I love that. I think it's great. You know, these ones that are... Grace and truth is always first, and it only matters. That's the only thing that matters. Okay, as we close this up, next about 10 minutes, here's the gold mine. I mean, we've been in the gold mine, but now we're getting into the heart of that gold mine. That word next, do you see that there? It says there, you shall be king over Israel. I shall be next unto thee. That word next, it means a copy or a double. Think of that. Yeah, it means next to, and I'm so thankful to that. Amen. That, you know, that queen will be next to the king. You understand that. And again, this is a type and shadow for us. This was in that honor. And see, we know that didn't happen, did it? In the natural story, that did not happen. That wasn't Jonathan telling him something that was far-fetched. Once again, this is the word that was written for us in the type and shadow, in the allegory, and yea, the deep things of God. Why was this in there? Just to be disappointed in that, you know, Jonathan was wasted and, you know, he was killed and it didn't work and he left and he was such a failure? I don't read about that in Jonathan's life. I don't believe he ever chose anything but the grace of God first. He went and walked. See, we're going to find out. He went and lived his life. That love was there. It was devoted. Praise God. But he also went and he was called to live that life. That was the life that he was called to live. And it wasn't a defeat. It was glory. And so glorious, it's the type and shadow to us that by the grace of God, we go on in this. But that word next, it means a copy or a double. The bride will be like him. Amen? Be like him. That's why it's not just next. It's deeper. It means a copy, a double. John in Revelation. Amen? John, the one who laid his head on Jesus' breast when he was up there. Right? That one that was walking him around. Two different times we read about. He's down there worshiping him. Here, get on up, John. See that you do it not. Amen. Worship God. Amen. But John, that one that was bringing John around, obviously we have that encouragement. One of those angels. And those angels, again, were the part of that company of the four living ones. That was the bride. And they were so like him, a double, a copy, if you will, like him. Amen. And how wonderful, the four living ones we just mentioned. They're like Jesus, the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle, the measure, the fullness, the stature. She is his glory. She's not just glory. She's his glory. And the only glory is him, right? Even though she's his glory, it's still his glory. But she became that glory because why? She took the grace. It's marvelous. Praise the Lord. So, and all, again, just perfect from every angle here. As Brother Copley used to say, that perfect symmetry, the Word of God in that precious wife, she's perfect from every angle. Hallelujah. So, then again, she'll be next to him, like the queen is to the king, not before the throne, not waving palms, ruling and reigning jointly together. Hallelujah. This is the grace of God. And brothers and sisters, we're not ashamed of that gospel. Recently, it was so sad to my heart, I had to almost combat, and I will have to say that, because it was so offensive. One that seemed to be wanting to run well, but boy, turned on it so quickly, and I was so hurt. But yet, I'm not ashamed of that love gospel. And no matter what others might want to oppose, just like Jonathan and his dad, let me tell you something, the truth is the truth. The Word is the Word of God. And as the Word of the Lord says, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. And I believe this. And I know you believe this. And this is what we believe. And I'm so thankful. I read the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And all those that believed God, as God told them it would be, it was. And they entered into that. And the other ones either saw that happening or they wished it would happen to them. But they got left out. And I don't want to be left out of anything. I want to be everything by faith for him and with him. Praise God. Now, it only gets better as we get to the finality of this tonight. Verse 18. And they too made a covenant before the Lord. And David abode in the wood, and Jonathan went to his house. Now, this word covenant, so many wonderful meanings of it. But this meaning of this word covenant is for us, as we know this. This was written for us. And the mystery is revealed of that covenant in Paul's gospel. And that word covenant, it means an alliance of marriage. They took an alliance of marriage before the Lord. That's what we do, praise the Lord, as we feast upon Paul's gospel. The Father, as we mentioned earlier, is the one that is seeking the true worshiper who worships him in spirit and in truth. We know this. He's looking for that glorious one for his son to be his bride. Now, this most precious scene, it ends. David remains in the wood. Remember, the wood means heavenly. So David, the Lord's in heaven at the right hand of God. And Jonathan goes to his house. Also, that house means a human body. So Jonathan, that love commitment was made. Praise God. I've heard that wonderful words of the Lord that spoke to me. Will you marry me? And you know, by the grace of God, I said, I do. That love covenant, that marriage covenant, by the grace of God, has been made real to my life. And I know where my bridegroom resides right now, at the right hand of the Father. And I know what he's called me to. I'm in this house. But this is his house. Amen. This is his vessel. Praise God. But by the grace of God, now I go walk by faith. I walk in this now that he's called me to. I thank the Lord that that love has been struck between us. I thank God that I have that encouragement of my bridegroom. But now I go and I live by faith. And by the grace of God and living by the faith in, again, Paul's gospel, I abide in first love. I abide in first love. I don't doubt it. I stand on it. I fellowship with others in it. I worship God in it. I listen to that, and I give the more earnest heed to those things which I have heard, lest at any time I should let them slip. Amen? All right. So, I grow on in it, I increase for Him, and I occupy throughout by His grace as His readied wife. I converse with Him through the Word. I fellowship with Him by the Holy Ghost. And in fruitfulness of the Lord, our love, praise God, abounds more and more as we love one another. Isn't it marvelous, praise God, how plain and apparent this is? And I thank the Lord. It's so true. The prophets, they wrote these love letters for us. It's of kings to search out a matter. And I'm so thankful to God that He's put that upon our hearts. You say, study to show thyself approved. I love that in the Word of God. I'm not ashamed. Amen. The workman that you want to be. Amen. Just get in and work reading them letters. Praise God. Let the Holy Spirit minister to your heart. And I just want to fall deeper in love with Him, like we talked about on Sunday. I don't want to miss a moment of being in love with Him, since He's so in love with me. Praise God. Let's stand and be dismissed.